Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I wish we could use that as the cold open.
Yeah, right. Got our cold open. Done.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. Okay, it sounds like the mics are sounding good.
In need of a top dog electrician? For over 35 years, Piper Electric has been the most fairly priced, dependable, and trustworthy electrical contracting company in the Denver community. If you call 303-646-6765, they will give you the BSN back-to-school hookup and save you 20% off your next service call. No job is too big or too small for Piper Electric. They work with the top professionalism and integrity in the biz, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial work. Don't forget, you have to call 303-646-6765 to receive 20% off your next service call. Let's get on with the show.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte.
Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray. Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-2 with Landeskog.
He has done it again. Vaughn Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
Dark two hands. Nikola Jokic.
Save me by Grubauer with a left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me. Take a good look. You won't see it from long. Two-run home run. Trevor Story. Touchdown to Emmanuel Sanders. Got it. Oh, man. That's from way downtown. And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center. Score! It's too good to be true.
Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery, your official BSN Denver beer. I'm your host, Ali Monroy. Andre Simone is on the board, and we have the Core Four back in the building. Welcome, guys.
Glad to be back. I haven't been on this podcast in like months, it feels like.
Yeah, it feels like it has been a really long time.
If you don't know who the Core Four is, Drew Kreisman, Harrison Wind, Ryan Konigsberg, and AJ Haefeli. We've got a lot to talk about in this first segment today. We've got hockey's back. The Rockies won a game. The Broncos lost an actual game. And the Buffs won and CSU won. And the Nuggets haven't really done much yet.
Nuggets are chilling. Nuggets are in chill mode still. Everybody's on vacation still.
All right, let's start off with hockey. Hockey being back. AJ, you were in California. How was that?
It was sunny. It was enjoyable. You get five hockey teams in a tiny rink together and a bunch of kids fighting for jobs and sometimes literally. And it was a good time. It was fun to watch. And bright future in Colorado. A lot of top prospects played pretty well. So it was great to get out there and actually just be at the rink again, honestly.
Any rookies that stood out to you?
Yeah, there were a whole bunch of them. Bowen Byram was really good. I mean, you draft him fourth overall. His first game, he just dominated. And you know, Connor Timmins coming back from the concussion was really solid. High IQ players. Shane Bowers, also high IQ guy, good two-way player. Guys that should be pushing for the Avs in a year or two. So they were like your top guys. They're the top prospects that went out there. They played the best. It was what you wanted to see from them.
Are you excited for preseason hockey to start?
I mean, preseason hockey is an abomination, but
that's what Ryan was saying earlier.
But other than that,
it can't be. Like, I'm
Ryan
excited for training
preseason
camp.
Preseason anything.
It can't be worse than preseason football.
Dude, it's pretty bad.
Really?
It's very, very slow.
In We Go has tickets to September 17th.
Oh, I want to go to this Avs preseason game. And I was like,
I miss hockey.
I tell you what, like, one would be fine.
Yeah,
like,
I miss hockey. I want to watch them.
One would be fine, but you're not going to see hockey. You're going to see shinny. And you're going to see a very, like, bastardized
version. We're
going to
have to rewind real quick.
I was
going to
say, Harrison and I just looked at each other.
It's like hockey. It's like a very casual, like
shinny?
Yeah.
Shinny. So would you say the Broncos were playing shinny on Monday night? The shinny version of football?
Like shitty?
No. I mean, I think we broke Harrison.
Yeah. Like this can't be a word I don't understand.
It's just like, it's like non-contact back and forth. Like you're not playing defense. There's no scheme. There's no.
So we ain't gonna see any fights or anything.
No. It does sound like the Broncos.
Yeah, Broncos.
you might see a fight just because it kind of depends. Does Josh Anderson play? Because if he does, he'll probably try and punch somebody.
Okay.
Most of the other Avs guys won't mess around with that. That's not how you win a job anymore. So I doubt we see a lot of that.
Yeah, it's the one sport where, like, in any of the rest of our sports, if there are fights in preseason, it's a big news story. You shouldn't be. Remember the year that when Tulowitzki and Ubaldo Jimenez, after Ubaldo left, and he hit him in spring training? Like, that's a big deal, right? But in hockey, you're like, come on, hit him. Come on, let's go. What do you? You don't have it. Like, you might, this guy might not be our guy. He didn't go out there and get it done. I guess if that's changing now, but it's
yeah,
funny.
Fighting isn't as it's a lot more of a skill thing. You know, like this over the weekend we were at the
we were at the
rookie showcase, and like all the fights that took place were very out of place because it was just like, what you doing?
How many preseason games are there in hockey?
It depends. There's 6 to 8, depending on however many each team wanted to play.
So that seems like 4 to 6 too many.
Yeah, I think there are 2 meaningful preseason games. It should be 2 games long, and that's it.
Which are the meaningful ones?
The last two, because that's the one where you get as close to your NHL lineup as possible.
So that's the one I want to go to, the last ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still don't want to go.
Yeah, it'll still be
just avoid preseason sports at all costs, except for spring training.
Yeah,
just because it's nice weather.
It's an experience,
and there's a casino right nearby,
and the tickets are cheap, and actually, like, the players who are the next ready, like, it's a bigger thing. It's a much larger pool in baseball. I feel like there's a lot of dudes, and every team with 25 to 40 man rosters, you're going to see some of these guys. You just are. So if you watch the Rockies spring training last year, you saw a lot of Sam Hilliard and Dom Nunez and some of these pitchers that have come up, Peter Lambert, some of these guys who are hoping to make an impact in the future. So whereas a lot of these other guys, if you don't do well in preseason and other sport, you're just going to get cut, not even be on the team again. Like, you actually get to see the future of your organization when you watch spring training.
The weird thing about preseason or spring training baseball is, like, the starters play, like, the first 3 or 4 innings, and then they just leave.
Right.
Like, they don't even, like, stay in the dugout and, like, watch the rest of the team. And they're like, all right, I'm not watching this garbage anymore. And they go to the locker room and go home.
I was going to say, they don't even stay in the clubhouse. They will literally change and
go to the bar.
The casino.
Sure, wherever. The casino, like you said. Yeah, wherever you want to go. There's a lot of pretty places in Scottsdale.
Well, speaking of the Rockies, they won a game.
A whole baseball game.
They broke a 7-game losing streak at Coors Field, so fans were pretty excited yesterday.
Yeah, well, the Cardinals. I was going to say all the Cardinals fans. It was probably 70-30 Cardinals fans to Rockies fans. And
I love all the red going home sad in Colorado this week.
Yeah, I tried to tee up Bud Black to talk about that a little bit, but he gave a different answer to the question about how great Denver is a place to come see baseball games, which is true. But it was kind of interesting seeing them. I mean, it was a game with stakes for the Cardinals, and it was a really well-played baseball game. So there was a level of excitement to it once you were like, because you could tell the Cardinals are out there really trying to win the ball game. Like, they're still trying to make the postseason. The Rockies at some point were like, we're not just going to let you have this.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a great moment of, like, personal professional pride for every member of the Rockies who took the field last night, especially the pitchers. Chichi Gonzalez, who got his first win as a member of the Rockies.
Since 2015. That's
his first win. In several years.
That's crazy.
And he couldn't have been more excited about it afterwards in the clubhouse. He was, you know, it meant a lot to him. The win might not have meant a lot to many Rockies fans out there. it meant the world to Chichi Gonzalez, and it was pretty cool to see that. And it meant the world to Carlos Estevez, who got out of the one major jam there that they were in. He got two big strikeouts with runners in scoring position. He inherited a tough situation. And, yeah, they, you know, it wasn't quite Mike Malone, take that L on your way out, you know, but it was kind of a nice – the Cardinals came in. They invaded your stadium. Mm-hmm. They brought all their fans here, and they're trying to win these games. It's important down the stretch, and – you shut them down, and you got to feel pretty good about that.
Sounds a little familiar to Saturday at Folsom Field.
Yeah, a little
bit. Take the L on the way out.
Take that L on the way out. Yeah, well, when that many opposing fans pack your house, I do think it's going to feel a little bit extra good to send them home quiet because they hear that noise. They do. They hear when the loudest the game was in that inning where the Cardinals were making their run. And when it looked like they were going to come back and win the game. And there wasn't a big explosion of energy when Carlos Estevez got the strikeouts to get out of it. There was more as the rally was going. So that silence almost has to be the thing that you play for, right? And I love seeing that in pro sports. You're playing, even in your home park, you're playing to silence the crowd. That takes some, I'm not sure what the word is. Can I use the word chutzpah? Did I pronounce that correctly?
I think you can use
did
that.
Did I get enough in there?
Yeah, but I can confirm that's correct pronunciation.
Thank you.
Well, without...
How many games are left?
Too many.
It's 20, something. Yeah. This is a lot. There's still another. They just started a 9-game homestand, 9 consecutive days with no days off. Then they go out of town, then they're back for 3 more, and then a couple more in the season.
I'm trying to hit one more Rockies game before the season's out.
Yeah.
Hit one more.
It's a good Friday nighter.
Yeah, maybe next week.
Go off a little bit.
Nolan Arenado might hit a ball 482 feet.
Yeah. That was a
bomb.
That
was onto the concourse, right?
Yeah.
No, out of the stadium.
Out of the
stadium. I think it bounced on the concourse and then
into
the
player's parking lot. Mm. Yeah, I've only seen that one other time. It was Trevor Story last year, but yeah, I've only ever seen it.
Was that the three-homer game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
that
the
one was like 503.
505.
505. 503, okay.
Like the green chili.
No, the one fell on his knees. It only went like 470 something.
Jeez. Pick it up, man.
Yeah, no.
All right, with that, let's talk a little Buffs. I know Ryan's very anxious to.
Sweet. We don't have to talk about the Broncos yet.
Let's do good football before we
yes,
do that.
Good football. CU and CSU both won this weekend. Ryan, how was that win against Nebraska?
Oh, man. It was a dream. Like, that's what you dream of when you see this game on the schedule. I think they scheduled it like 7 or 8 years ago at this point. And like, if you had told me at that time, you get to have a massive second half comeback, go into overtime and win the game, including like a legendary 96-yard flea flicker that flips the momentum. Like, this is the stuff that like dreams are made of when you're a fan of a team. So, it's one of those ones that you'll never forget. Just like I said last year when we went into Lincoln and beat them there and I was there for that. This one was even more special just because of the moments in the game. The fact that there was really, Andre?
I muted my mic. You can't hear what I just did. But you guys are all
totally
laughing and interrupting
all
the
these
show.
Other mics.
So joke's on you.
Like that you've heard the of the elephant in the room? That's what that actually sounded like. Anyways, the fact that there was so many Nebraska fans there like made it extra satisfying. I love what Matt McChesney said. He's like, at first I was pissed, and then after the game I was like, I'm glad you guys got to see that us. He used profanity.
Matt McChesney words, yeah.
I'm glad you guys got to see us beat you. So it was an amazing weekend. It was like total college football all weekend in Boulder, and the Buffs are back under Mel Tucker.
How, after a win like that, like and just the rivalry in general, how big is it for this game to be scheduled every year?
You're never going to get it every year, but
why?
Because that just doesn't happen.
I mean, football's stupid.
You could point at like BYU Utah and say like
it should be like BYU Utah. Yeah,
I'd be fine with it. I just don't think it will happen. Probably because Nebraska's scared now, but.
Definitely. That's definitely the reason why.
I just think it won't be that. That's setting our sights too high. But I would love, a home and home at least every 4 years would be great.
Well, we had a tailgate on Franklin Field with BST, and we're going to have that every home game, so be sure to stop by. Harrison stopped by and had some fun. What did you think of the tailgate?
Yeah, I had some fun with the Flamingo.
The Flabongo, please call it by its proper name.
The Flabongo. No, it was great. I mean, I love college football. Happy it's back. And the coolest thing about this game, just looking back, Ryan kind of mentioned it, but this is going to be a game that is like a program-defining game probably. Like, regardless of what Mel Tucker does, I think, probably always remember that win over Nebraska in his first year.
I mean, it's just for those freshmen that were there, like my little brother, he got to watch an incredible comeback, his first game ever at Folsom as a student, and then got to rush the field. Like, that's what creates this fan base to keep going with those younger students who haven't really seen that type of success in Boulder. Besides the Rise.
You know when I knew the Buffs were going to win this game? When we were standing at the tailgate and the Buffs were walking into the stadium, and at the front of the pack, Mel Tucker walking in like a boss with like some Gucci backpack and just dressed in all black. I knew right at that moment it was going to be a good day.
Oh, God, that was so legend. He's such a badass.
Yeah.
Like, the way that he carries himself, the way that he walks, the way that he talks, like even when he led them out, Henry had a great video of him leading them out on the field, like before they ran out with Ralphie. He looks in charge and he's so calm and collected. That was like something. We were sitting in the 12th row right behind the Buffs bench, and I was just watching Mel like throughout the entire game. 17-0, he had the exact same demeanor as 17-14, as the same demeanor as 31-31. The entire game, he just was calm. And I was at the press conference yesterday where he talked about, you know, why weren't you yelling, or why do you keep it so calm and cool on the sidelines? And he's like, you know what? I'm trying to do what's best for the players. It would be very self-serving for me to just, like, let out my anger because I'm mad that someone messed up. But what does that help? It doesn't help anything. The only thing I can do is try and teach them and make it, you know, a learning moment for them. And a lot of coaches talk that talk. Not all of them walk that walk, especially not Mike McIntyre. He was always red in the face. He was always freaking out about a call or someone messing up. And it's crying. It's literally calming to me as a fan in the stands to look down there and see that Mel is so calm. So I know it's a calming presence for the players. And he goes into the halftime, you know, and says, hey, they gave us our best shot. Okay, they got a 17-point lead. We can do better than that. And they did.
I mean, you see it with the players after the flea flicker. Nebraska came back and scored a touchdown, and Steven Montez on the sidelines just grabbed his helmet and said, let's get another one. There wasn't that fear, which in the past you've seen the air like that. Oh, God, like we're down. Oh, my God. Are we going to come back from this? Nope. It was, let's take care of business again.
Steven's demeanor was impressive in that game, and I think Mel is rubbing off on him because he definitely had that demeanor in the second half where it was like, unfazed by anything, just next play and let's keep at it.
I got to think some of that demeanor comes from the fact that he was coaching in the SEC and coaching at big programs for so long. Like, he knows what it's about. None of this is new to him. He's been in huge games before, games that are way bigger than CU Nebraska. Like, he knows how to handle himself and carry himself. I have no idea how he managed to wear that black sweatshirt the whole game, since God, it was like so 100 hot. Degrees out, yeah. But he knows how to keep himself calm.
I don't know how all these guys do this. Vic Fangio's out there wearing hoodies. Like, I don't know how those guys do that. But the only thing is, like, I need them to be able to turn it on a little sooner. Like, you can't do this every game with the halftime adjustments.
I tweeted, it reminded me of Nuggets fourth quarter. And,
yeah.
And that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But the Nuggets, just like the Buffs, always found a way.
They do.
Often
found
a way.
The stress is just, I don't like it.
That, what was it? Was it the last regular season game? Was it again? Who was it against?
Yeah, against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Right? Where they just like didn't play the entire, like they didn't turn it on until like 5 minutes left in the game.
Right. They only turned it on when they really had to.
Yeah.
Gosh.
All right, well, CSU beat Western Illinois by a lot of points. I don't remember the exact score.
Can we drop the John Elway, good for you, bud, and move on?
No, them doing well is now good, Ryan. Good, you got to support them.
Okay, but against directional Illinois, we don't need to talk.
First off, Western Illinois might be better than Nebraska for all we know. So,
well, low bar.
It seemed like it with their loss against CSU.
Yeah. By what's that whole thing about the transitive property? Is that what, is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
By the transitive property, they lost to Nebraska by like 20. So, sorry for getting all mad.
What is Western Illinois like?
Way to defend
D4?
Nebraska, guys. When I took a cheap shot at them, good job.
Wow.
I just want to make sure our win is still good. But no, good for CSU.
38-13,
Colin Hill
looked
good in that game. They need that.
They made those adjustments, and they broke a 6-game losing streak. So that's good for Mike Bobo. And we should have Justin in here to talk a little more.
Justin coming here and Dan calling
in. Most of us were a little preoccupied at Folsom. So
Dante Wright looks like a baller.
About the Rams, yeah. Dante Wright looks like an absolute star.
I'll have
in a state
know.
That's suddenly producing phenomenal running backs left and right.
Well, there you go.
Just phenomenal players left and right.
Drew.
A lot of NFL players coming out of CU and CSU playing really well right now. Heck, even in a 59-10 loss for the Dolphins, Preston Williams had the one touchdown catch for them.
It's true.
Michael Gallup. There's
Cheeto
a former Ram.
Yep, Cheeto with a game-clinching turnover. Akello with a game-clinching turnover.
Pick six.
Yep.
Akello, yeah.
Paul Richardson had a nice game.
Austin Eckler, game-winning touchdown.
He's on my fantasy team, Austin Eckler.
There you go. The only one who really didn't blow you out of the water this week was Phil. And I guess that's a good transition.
Yep, let's
Risner graded
to
as the second best guard in all of football this week, by the
Risner?
Way. Risner? Risner,
yeah. Yeah, he was awesome. He's really the only thing that was awesome about the Broncos offense that night.
Yeah, Ryan, what are your thoughts on the Broncos' performance? They were pretty quiet offensively.
Well, I mean, I've been telling people they were going to suck on offense all week. Like, you had to expect that was going to come. I mean, I predicted 17 points. They scored 16. So I felt pretty normal about the offense. That's what I expected from them. I just expected the defense to be able to lock things down. And that was really concerning. And it's the reason why Broncos fans are panicking right now, because it looked just like last year. You thought, okay, Vic Fangio is this defensive mastermind. He's going to have some sort of plan to eradicate the short game from Derek Carr, which is what Derek Carr does. He throws five-yard passes really, really well. And then once in a while, once you start sucking in, he throws one over the top and maybe he hits one. But they
– what a world. You get $100 million for throwing five-yard passes really well.
Well, and it works when a defense just allows you to do that. And I think it was really surprising that the Broncos didn't adjust. They didn't change anything when Isaac Yiadom was getting cooked. Oh. It was just hard to watch in that regard, because you just expected more. And so the one thing I think you can hold your hat on is, okay, so last year the coaching staff would have this stuff happen and they couldn't fix it. If you're a Broncos fan, like, you just have to trust in Vic Fangio that he can be the one who gets this fixed, because clearly a lot of the same issues are still popping up. He's got to figure out a way to fix them, unlike the way the last staff did.
Were you expecting to see Joe Flacco throw as much to Courtland Sutton as he did? I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, how many passes did he have?
Yeah, Emmanuel ended up with like 5 catches for 85 yards, but it was all at the end of the game. Courtland, hats off to him, because he had a really bad camp, honestly. It was super disappointing. It almost looked like he took a step backwards from last year. His route running did look better, but he was dropping stuff. He seemed like he wasn't necessarily focused throughout camp. And so expectations for him were pretty low. He went out there and looked like a guy that can eventually be the number one receiver for the Broncos. And he had 120 yards. He really should have had 136. Got 16 taken back because of a holding on Noah Fant. So really impressive game from him. It was really just the same two routes the whole time, slant and post, slant and post, slant and post. But that's better than what it was last year, which was just straight go routes all the time.
What are you expecting to see in the home opener against the Chicago Bears? His Vic Fangio's old team.
I'm expecting Vic to have a much better game plan. If anyone should know how to game plan Matt Nagy's offense, it should be Vic Fangio. Mm-hmm. So I expect that. I expect the Broncos to play significantly better. They always play good in the home opener. If they don't play well, then I'm going to start being a little panicky like some of the fans are already. But you need to see them take what they did wrong and improve upon it. A lot of injuries out there. One of the reasons why the defense wasn't as good and why Isaac Yiadom was out there getting picked on in the first place is Bryce Callahan being injured. Doesn't sound like that's going to be settled anytime soon. Juwan James goes down. Now they've got Elijah Wilkinson. They can't afford literally one more injury on the offensive line at all. So there's plenty of concerns, but I do expect them to play a lot better this week and calm everyone's nerves a little bit.
It's worth mentioning that last year the Bengals looked great in week one, thumping the Colts, who were a darling by the end. The Tampa Bay Bucks looked great and dominated the New Orleans Saints to the tune of 48 points. So
week one of the NFL is always meaningless.
Yeah.
Especially it's, now that no one plays in the preseason.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Week one of the NFL is like a real preseason game.
And as I've been saying, if the Broncos would have lost in any other way, like a new creative way to lose, people wouldn't be freaking out so much. It's just that it looked so much like the way they lost games last year that has people up in arms. But yeah, 7 out of the 12 playoff teams last year started 0-1.
Right.
I think the thing I'll be watching for is just on the defensive side of the ball. Like I'm not expecting their offense to, you know,
be good,
set the world on fire. But like defensively, they should probably have a couple quarterback pressures, I think.
Yeah, you have Bradley Chubb and Von Miller.
Like, there's so much talent on the defensive end
side
of the floor.
Watching those guys drop into coverage. I was like,
get used to that.
That's sweet.
That's a big part of the Fangio defense. And honestly, they were more useful in coverage than they were rushing the passer because he was getting the ball out so fast. So
right. Mm-hmm. You talked about it on the pod. The adjustment that's logical when they're just doing the quick passing game is drop 8 in coverage.
Yes.
Just exactly. Rush 3. Who cares?
Right. And they weren't able to ever cause Derek Carr to hold on the ball longer than they want. Mace dropped a crazy stat. I think it was he had 27 attempts in the game. He got rid of the ball faster than 3 seconds on 23 of them.
Yeah. Wow.
So there was never any time for those guys to get there. I don't actually blame Von Miller and Bradley Chubb for being complete non-factors. It's just a really good game plan by John Gruden and a pretty poor counter, in my opinion, by Vic Fangio.
Speaking of that, though, there is just zero urgency from Joe Flacco in that offense. That was killer.
Casual. That dude just, it was just like a
there was
Sunday
no urgency from
us. Right?
The only person who ever showed any urgency in the game was just Phillip Lindsay, and he's just like
hyping everyone.
He's like born urgent.
Yeah.
He's just one of those high energy dudes.
Right. But
so why staying even keel working for like the Buffs, right? We just praised Tucker and Montez for that, and for the Broncos, we seem to think it's a problem.
There's a very fine line, I think, between even keel and lackadaisical or disinterested.
Apathetic.
And I think certain teams, and it depends on your leadership. Like, I think the Buffs have some leaders on that team that fire you up. Like, Steven Montez is nothing like Joe Flacco. You know, he gets up. You know, he throws his arms up to celebrate touchdowns before Katie Nixon even catches
good.
The ball.
Yeah.
Like, little things like that. He has swagger, right?
Yeah.
And you also look at Katie and Visco.
And I think when you have a team that has swagger like that, the even keel nature is actually really important. For the Broncos, who has swagger? Phillip Lindsay. End list. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, it kind of has some swagger to him.
Vaughn has swagger
in a different way, though. In a different way.
Vaughn is a big dork.
Yeah, no, totally. He's chill, though. I mean, just so people understand the difference.
So I think with the Broncos, it's like they came in, they wanted to have this very light, like this very even keeled nature. And all of a sudden, when they're standing flat footed, the Raiders just came and socked them right in the face. And they just had no answer. Like, they were knocked out on the first, you know, couple drives of the game. They got knocked out. And I think when you are this even keeled team, you have to have someone who can be an emotional leader to say, hey, whoa, we can't let them do that to us. And I really have no idea who it is.
It's not going to be Flacco.
It's not Flacco. It's like, Phillip Lindsay is the guy.
Isn't his nickname like Joe Cool?
Right. Exactly. And that can be a positive thing. It's right. Just you need counterbalance to that, and I don't think
it's been like one of his good attributes over the course of his career that he's so even keel.
When he was on a team with like
Ray Lewis,
I was gonna say Ray
there
Lewis,
you go.
Ray Rice,
yeah. Terrell Suggs, like a bunch of psychos out there.
Yeah,
you need psychos.
Yeah,
but you do.
No, I mean, you do. That's when we talked. When we talk about what Denver was when they won the Super Bowl, that defense. You know, it had a bunch of maniacs back there.
Keep Tlaib. You
know, well, Tlaib and TJ. TJ Ward was a guy that brought. You know, talk about swagger. That dude was all swagger.
And Wolf was peak psychoness. I don't know that anyone's feeding off of Wolf's psychoness anymore. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he just looks like a psycho. Where you're just like, all right, this guy eats babies.
Right. Yeah, it's a weird thing, and I think, honestly, I hate to say it, but I think losing culture is actually playing a part in this. Like, I went on a long diatribe on the BSN Broncos podcast about this today, but I'll try and keep this shorter. I think when you put so much into football and you dedicate so much and you lose as much as the Broncos have lost over the last couple years, you can almost start to emotionally protect yourself a little bit and not want to get that hyped up because you know what it's like when you lose so much. And it's not that you do it on purpose, but subconsciously you sort of try to care a little bit less because you know how painful and how honestly like depressing it can be to care that much and then lose double digit games in a season. So that's a short version of it.
Growing up in Philadelphia, I agree with that.
Yeah. It's like being I've dealt a Kansas with a lot basketball of losing fan in March. You just know it's coming. The heartbreak is on its way.
Yeah, how dare you?
I mean, Browns Except fans probably even react that way right now.
You just made my mother cry. I want
yeah,
you to
well, it makes me cry. It happens every year.
I don't feel bad for Kansas basketball winning 14 consecutive. Yeah,
Kansas is fine. Kansas is okay.
Yeah, sorry, I'm going off the billboards that they have throughout the state. I'm pretty sure it says 14. They need to update those.
It's just a different kind of heartbreak because you set yourself up, you know? And then you get into it every year, and then you're just like, come on. It just never happens.
I wrote that story a couple of weeks ago about Ryan McMahon and Ian Desmond doing a trust fall thing after they would hit home runs. Ryan McMahon would literally just go into the dugout and fall into Ian Desmond's arms or vice versa, and they have to catch each other. And I asked Rymack about it, and he goes, this has been killing us, dude. And we were just killing each other. We were taking everything so seriously. And he said to me the phrase, we care too much. And he was talking specifically of those two players, I think, him and Ian. But I think it reverberates throughout the team. And it is a culture problem. We've talked a lot this year about the loss of Cargo and Para.
Yeah.
And some of these players that brought fun and swagger. And Tony Wolters is the only guy in that clubhouse who comes in every day and throws up his arms and says, let's F and go and let so-and-so's pitching today. He's got nothing. I saw him one day doing that Kershaw. They had Kershaw that day. He's got nothing on us. We own this guy. He's the only person in the clubhouse who behaves that way. Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story are the quietest people. Like, they're great guys. They're not bad guys like we were talking about. Like Von Miller, like, or even Joe Flacco. Like, Nolan could be that same thing. He's just too cool, man. He's too cool for school. And, like, you need those guys. You see what happened. Gerardo Parra goes to the Washington Nationals, and now everyone's doing the baby shark thing, and he's a phenomenon. He still hits 250. He's the same guy he ever was.
Right.
But they went on this huge winning streak and are in a postseason positioning now, and they give a lot of credit to those guys. And we all know they're important in every sport. In the NBA, they're called towel-waving guys, right? Like some of the best guys of in the history of any team that's won an NBA championship. There's that one dude who played 7 minutes a game but was everybody's favorite player on that team.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that Juancho this season?
Yeah, you could say it was Juancho.
He was just getting everyone hyped. Everyone talked about, like, Nikola Jokic, when he hit that three, was like, oh, we had to get so hyped for him because he's done that. He's
right,
come and picked us up every single
game. And then
when he
does get into the game, it's just that much better.
Yeah.
You know, when he does something.
One of my favorites of all time was Eduardo Nájera.
Nájera was great. Yeah.
Ryan Bowen was my guy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Really throwing it back there.
All right, before we move on to a fun news segment, I've got to tell you guys about the incredible Total Beverage 30% off deal. That's right. Total Bev is giving the BSN fam 30% off your purchase of $25 or more using the promo code BSN2019 online or on the Total Beverage app. Total Bev delivers to most of the metro area. Plus, they now offer CBD products. So you don't want to let this offer pass you by. Order today and receive 30% off your purchase of $25 or more using the promo code BSN2019. So I know I just teased it, but classic news style, we're actually going to bring you that news segment in the third segment.
Classic news, you don't tell them that. You just make them think it's coming this segment.
Sorry.
And then
I don't know.
Classic reality TV show move.
Oh, that's so true. Bachelor in Paradise does it all the time.
We're behind.
Very, very behind.
I thought now that I'm back on the show, we'd finally have our Bachelor in Paradise corner. I guess that will have to wait another week.
Yeah.
Four episodes behind?
Yeah. I could go get a coffee strangle me with this microphone. Man.
It's over, though. Next week's the final week.
Oh, yeah. This week was the fantasy suites.
Catch up. I'll catch up.
Right. Look for that podcast in a separate feed.
All right. Well, we are going to do Who Won the Week. Listen to this awesome jingle.
Who did the most and who did the least? Who was the dog and who was the beast? Who's in the boat and who's up a creek? Let's see. Who won the week?
All right, guys. So last week, all of our topics were pretty much the Buffs winning the week. And I think we can all agree the Buffs did win the week. Yeah,
pretty clearly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we only have one game in a week, and you win it. You have won the week.
They didn't lose the week.
Plus,
sure.
The Rockies had like 7 games, and they didn't win any of them.
So with that, Drew.
I was really looking forward to tweeting how the Broncos had won more games on baseball fields than the Rockies had in the last week. And
no, I saw people being mad about those tweets.
Well, I had another one. So
being like, probably why pissed are off people, some people making on. Fun of other sports, like
that was probably directed at me because I tweeted we should have known that Denver sports teams suck on baseball fields.
I should have brought this up in the Broncos segment, but the Raiders playing on a freaking baseball field is one of the more ridiculous things happening
in sports. It's so on brand, though.
It is so on brand, but so
for both teams.
It honestly, like, what if the Raiders just put a baseball field on their new stadium? They're like, it's part of our thing.
Oh my god. Okay, well, Drew.
Yeah.
Speaking of baseball fields, why do the Rockies win the week?
Well, I believe it was the first, maybe the second time we did this segment that RK claimed that the Broncos won the week because the Rockies were terrible and the Broncos had begun training camp. So I'm going to turn all that around and say the Rockies won the week because the Broncos are terrible and the Rockies won a baseball game last night against a team that's actually competing for a postseason spot. And so, but I mean, there is a legitimate like battle for the attention of the Denver sports fan that I think Ryan was getting at with that. And there is this sense of they check out on the baseball season because it's been so terrible. Now it's football season. We'll watch all the preseason games because they don't matter. And then here comes game one. And then they look that bad. Well, now you got 6 days to wait and see if the Broncos can get any better. Well, at least every day, the Rockies, there's a chance Nolan Arenado might hit a huge bomb. Some guy might win a game. There you go. Rockies win the week because they win actual professional sports ball games.
Okay, time's up. Ryan, do you have a rebuttal on that?
Solid take.
I feel like you've used that take before.
I mean, the Rockies won the week because everyone stopped talking about how inept they are to talk about how inept the Broncos are.
Exactly right.
That's good. Am I up?
Yes, you are, Ryan. Go.
Can I pick the Buffs again? Because I'm totally going to.
You're
going to
opt from the Broncos?
This counts in his time, I just want to say.
That's fine. I don't need that much time. We can run this to 50 seconds. The Buffs won the week. And they won the week last week because of all the attention. And people were talking about college football in Colorado and all that good stuff. Now they won the week because they caught everyone's attention with the win. People are talking about Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker's on Jim Rome today. I know that's like that probably used to be cooler like 10 years ago, but you know, nationally Ryan Russillo was talking about how impressive Mel Tucker is.
They're ranked 32nd, right?
Yeah, that's not really ranked, but they're creeping towards the rankings.
Others receiving votes.
Are receiving votes seconds. So they're gaining relevancy not only within the state but nationally. People are taking notice. They have an eye on the Buffs and their beautiful black and gold uniforms.
So people thought this was going to turn into like a Broncos podcast eventually. I think you're going to try and make it a Buffs, not Broncos at all.
Hell yeah.
It won't take very long for that to go away.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's KU football doing?
I can't say that I've ever watched.
I was going to say, do they know. Technically they have football, but
hey.
They had that one year.
Les Miles is doing Todd a great Reising. Series on ESPN Plus that I've enjoyed watching when my child goes for naps on Fridays.
Who did they lose to? Like Shadron State?
No. Shadron State might have been more impressive than who they actually lost to. Shadron State, Danny Woodhead's alma mater.
Wow, shout out.
RMAC powerhouse, yeah.
There I think it's interesting.
Best program in Nebraska.
Fair, yes.
Fair. I do think it's interesting, though, that Ryan can take either the Broncos or the Buffs.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I feel like I should be able to take the Isotopes or something when that happens. Like,
they're not in Colorado.
Oh.
You can have the Sky
Grand
Sox.
Junction Rockies.
Well, I've taken Team Serbia before.
That's
so
true.
Oh, okay. Wow, yeah.
I got to expand my horizons here a little bit.
I don't have a G League team to take, Drew, or a AAA team
You just
to
need
take.
To stan another team, and then you can pick them.
Like, I play as the Washington Nationals and MLB The Show now because literally the Rockies are too bad to play as.
But why would you choose the Nationals?
Because their pitching is phenomenal. Ugh. You throw Max Scherzer.
Like AJ can pull an Eagles on us if he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
The Eagles won.
He wrote
the
a whole story about them this week.
Kind of.
Well. That'd be more relevant than Sampo Ranta for Team Finland. Huh?
That's true. Hey. See, you've all done this.
You know what? It's organization.
You don't
based,
badmouth so. Sampo Ranta.
First of all, how dare you?
Watch
yeah.
Just
yourself,
try to say
Andre.
How worldly we are on this podcast.
Rambo Santa won't have it.
Hey, I would.
Is it weird that I don't know if that's the correct name? Rambo. I think the same thing.
I'm like, wait, did we just say it wrong? Because he always says it that way. Yeah. Like,
Rambo Santa.
Rambo Santa.
This is going to be such a great shirt.
Yeah.
It's an amazing nickname. I'm normally not a big nickname guy, but it's just too good.
We should maybe make those for Christmas.
When are we going to see him on the ice at Pepsi Center?
Maybe never.
He's 2 years away from being
our
2 years.
He's basically a mythical figure.
He really
at this
is
point.
Very, very Bruno-like in that way. Yeah, yeah. It could be a while.
It's so great. I love that I just have this Avs like middling prospect that I just love.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's definitely a baller. That's for sure.
Congrats on being a hockey fan. We all do.
I don't know how you guys do it. Not to take us too far off track with like these prospects not playing right away, like. The Broncos draft these guys and you like see them on the field and if they're good, they play right away and it's like so satisfying instantly, or the opposite of that. Like, you know, they suck right away. I don't know how you guys handle it with like watching these guys and being like, this guy's great. We'll see him when I'm 35.
Well, it's funny in the Nuggets case, the longer these guys don't play, the more the hype actually builds, which is a weird kind of thing that's happened.
The unknown. Great.
Maybe they'll just hold Porter out for like 2 years and his trade value will net them like Giannis in 3 years.
Oh,
so good.
Man.
They're going to take the P out of the middle of his name the longer that he's there and he just becomes MJ at that point.
Wow.
Well, that's been kind of the bummer of this Rockies season to get us back on track is I wish I could embrace all this losing and be like, oh, yeah, top five pick coming.
Right.
Can't wait for that dope pitcher out of UCLA. Yes.
They're not going to have a top five pick because the bottom of the baseball standings are just too god-awful.
The AL
they should have started tanking earlier.
Yeah.
Is
that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well,
and we can't even say, like, Brendan Rodgers is playing at least. Like, he's getting every day at bats.
Yeah. It's like Ryan McMahon.
Yeah. Yeah. And it took Ryan McMahon from 2013 to 2016 just to make his debut at the very end of the year. 2017 was his first year of trying to break into the leagues. He spent most of it as a bench player. So he was drafted in 2013 in a pretty high spot. And this year is the first time he's been a regular player in Major League Baseball. And we're just now figuring out, yeah, this guy can play. Like, it was a question mark coming into the year whether or not Ryan McMahon was a legitimate big leaguer. I think he's answered that question. He is. But 5 years after he was drafted? Goodness.
Yeah. When Ryan McMahon was drafted, it was so long ago, Garrett Bowles was actually just 22.
Yeah, right.
Ryan McMahon was drafted the same year Nathan MacKinnon was.
And wow. Then it just,
wait, what year was that?
Yeah, 2013.
That's crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And Nathan MacKinnon was like an MVP candidate before he even was a regular MLB player.
Right.
I was in college.
All right. AJ, why do the Avs or the Eagles win the week?
Well, I'm going with Connor Timmins because he missed 15 months with a concussion and he missed his entire first pro season last year with injury and couldn't get on the ice and was having a hard time day to day. Suffered a bunch of setbacks along the way, et cetera, et cetera. And then he was on the ice over the weekend. He got his first competitive game since May of 2018, and he was good in both of them. And he's back to being one of Colorado's top young prospects. And honestly, I think we'll see him with the Avs at some point this year. He's too good to keep down there keep up in Loveland for too much longer. But just him being healthy and him getting on the ice, I think he wins the week just because he's healthy finally. And you know, concussions and the way that they're treated in sports today. It was a question, you know, would he ever come back? Would he be the same? And he looked great, and it's a bright future, full steam ahead for him.
He finished with 2 seconds. You guys always do this to me.
Why do you want us to fail?
It would be fun.
You just want to yell like.
That's the fun, yeah.
I hate that the Broncos have done this to me, but I am so cynical about players with injury concerns now. Like, I'm like, MBJ, nope. Connor Timmons, nope.
Wait,
no one
like,
that's ever been injured can ever be good
podcast, again.
The
first time we did this podcast, you were saying MBJ all the way.
Yeah, but then the Broncos got Bryce Callahan and Juwan James in free agency, and neither of them are helping them do anything right now. So I'm over it. Anyone who's ever been hurt, dead to me.
I was going
to
say, I also think on the first episode of this podcast, I was doing a lot of building up of Brendan Rodgers, and literally the next day he went down for the rest of the season.
Yep, I'm over Brendan Rodgers.
He's going to be so good.
With
if
injuries,
he can stay on the field.
Ian Cole being back out there after surgery, that's awesome.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh?
It was, I mean, it was.
I guess not.
It was surprising to see him on the ice.
Yeah.
But it, you know, he's doing very, very limited stuff. His timeline was December, so him being on the ice now is obviously ahead of schedule a little bit. But, well, I mean, he's got so long to go still. And he's probably just getting to the beginning of, like, his summer work. Because he couldn't be on the ice all summer.
Yeah.
You know, when you have surgery on both hips and you're turning 30, it's not a great combination. So I don't have any faith that he'll play for the Avs this year.
Oh, okay. So going with what Ryan
was
just saying.
We'll just, it's just that with the legs, like upper body injuries in hockey, you can still work out your legs, which is where it's all about in hockey. It's all about, you know, strength and conditioning of your lower half, and then you know your upper half. It's great. You know, I mean, you got to have it. You don't want
to
look like.
You do have to have an upper half of your body.
It would be very strange looking hockey.
You need it.
You don't want to look like Mikhail Bodker, who was a former Av, who was like, who had like these thunder thighs, but he was like super slight of build up top, and you were like, he looked like a mutant. Like,
he missed chest day, arm day.
Like it didn't exist for him.
Never missed leg day.
I feel personally attacked.
Do you even
and so
lift, bro?
It was just a weird like, body build. And
tell me, he did not just describe my not that I've got thunder thought. I mean, I'm just saying. Come on.
It's,
I feel personally attacked.
With
I've
Cole,
never
he,
thought that about you, Drew.
Oh,
I feel
you.
Like you're very proportional.
Yeah,
Drew. I feel
yeah,
like
you're tall and
well
lanky.
Built.
Yeah. Like,
thanks, everyone.
Well proportioned.
Wow. Look, you made this about you.
I know.
I know. Well, that's why I was like,
you
wait,
really
you went full blown deep on us.
I suppose I did.
Yeah. It's see, it's wow. No surprise you played wide receiver.
I know. That's
oh,
that's what. It, oh. That's almost a transition into a topic I don't think we're going to touch on today's podcast.
You as a wide receiver?
Yes. I was going with wide receiver talk
if this
in
was
general.
The Raiders,
yeah,
yeah. The Oakland,
oh, yeah.
Diva
wide
the
receivers could have
Boston,
been a transition.
But, yeah, we're not going
to
get
not
into
not quite
that.
On that level. I could have changed my name to my number if I'd have thought about it. I'd have been Ocho Ocho.
Nice.
Oh.
I could have been Ocho Ocho.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to be your new name here at the office. Change your Slack name to that. Mine is Athena. Yours is Ocho Ocho.
Love it.
All right, Harrison.
Well, the Nuggets won the week because they signed Bol Bol to a two-way contract this week.
Woo.
And the reason why this is so good for Denver is because they have literally like zero investment, like zero money tied to Bol Bol, but you know they still have control over him. Like if you look at what a lot of the second rounders got for guaranteed money in like the range where Bol Bol was drafted, $1.5 million, $2 million, $2.5 million, you know, like 2, 3, 4 years. On a two-way contract, Bol Bol's guaranteed $50,000 next year.
Yeah, why did they do that?
Well, I think for a bunch of different reasons, but like one, they like just want to make sure he's like a long-term play and they don't have anything like expected of him this year. And so they have very little committed to him right now, but like if he shows that he can earn a contract, they can re-up it to a regular NBA deal. So it's kind of a low-risk, high-reward situation that Denver finds themselves in with him.
Perfect.
I'm really glad that they can send him down to their D-League team where they control the coaching staff and they can really make sure that he develops the way that they want and gets the minutes that they're looking for.
The D-League?
Sorry, G
the
League.
The G League.
Get it right.
I'm an old school type of guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal. It's like it is ridiculous that the Nuggets don't have their own G League team. It's ridiculous at this point in the game.
Especially in a situation like this where you have this guy who's like super raw and you could, if you had your own G League team, like you could control the way they're developing him. You can have like close tabs. You can control the way they're using him in the games. Now you're just like, all right, go down to that. Like it's like if we took someone at BSN and just like sent them to the like development program of a rival
right.
It is a little. Like, hopefully he comes back good.
Yeah, it is a little different because, like, yeah, it's not Nuggets coach is there per se.
Hopefully he comes back good. Yeah. No. It's going to be the headline every time the Avs demote somebody. Hopefully he comes back good.
I will say it's not ideal because it's not Nuggets coaches, Nuggets development guys, but the Nuggets do work with whatever team they send him to, like, all right, how many minutes is he going to get? Like, what kind of role is he going to play? There's a compromise there of sorts.
I'm looking forward to getting a Bulbul Skyforce jersey. It's going to be
in
incredible.
Sioux Falls, yeah.
He could be, his nickname could be Skyforce.
Skyforce.
Another nickname. We've come up with a lot of great nicknames on this podcast.
Ocho Ocho over here. What do you think about that?
Bulbul and Ocho
Ocho.
You're
with me, huh?
Yeah.
Bulbul's just too good of a name, anyways. He doesn't need a nickname.
All right, well, I think it's time to get into this segment that I was already teasing earlier. But first, as you guys may or may not know, taking care of your teeth is pretty important. Our friends at Green Mountain Dental Group are giving away a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. That's right, you simply have to just take care of your teeth for Green Mountain Dental to hand over a free toothbrush. Check them out today online or call 303-988-0711 to schedule your appointment today. All right, so we're pretty excited for this next segment. It's called Beat the Tweet. Drew's going to have a jingle for you guys.
I am not.
Pretty much each of you will predict the most ridiculous takes we are likely to see on Twitter based on this week's results for each of your teams. You're pretty much going to beat them to the punch of the bad or most ridiculous takes.
This is a very sarcastic segment. I think we should put that out there.
Yeah. We're having
yes,
fun.
Yes, everyone knows.
This is a very jaded segment. You've been in sports writing long enough, you know somebody's going to get mad about something and you're just trying to get ahead of it.
Let's not get mad, guys. Let's just have fun with this one.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to start? Does anyone?
I'll start.
Okay.
My tweet of the week? Was that
Beat the tweet.
Okay. Well, whatever. But I mean, Nikola Jokic couldn't even lead Serbia to a gold medal in the World Cup. How the heck is he going to ever lead the Nuggets to an NBA championship?
Ooh, mic drop.
That hasn't already been done. It seems like one of our friends would have already done that.
I'm waiting to see that tweet
that
or headline
so
soon.
Why is it wrong, Harrison?
Well,
for every possible reason.
I mean, look at like what he did last season in the NBA and like, you know, the World Cup is much different. First off, he was coming off the bench for Serbia for some godforsaken reason. I don't know what Serbia's coach was really thinking throughout this entire tournament.
That's become your robo-ump, is why is Serbia not starting the pitch.
But, I mean, anyways, like, you would think they would treat the guy who won fourth in MVP, or was the fourth guy in MVP voting last year, with a little more respect than that. But
did Nikola ever, like, say anything about this? Like, is there a chance that maybe he said, like, yo, I don't want to play too many minutes out here?
I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to play for your country, like, you're going to go all out.
Yeah.
You know?
You agree to play.
Yeah.
Is Mason Plumlee going all out for the U.S.?
He's cheering really hard from the bench.
He's one of those towel guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
He's definitely the 12th man on the U.S. team.
Well, that's okay. They're done anyway.
Yeah, they're done.
All right.
I like the idea of equating like the FIBA World Cup or whatever this tournament is called with
nailed it.
Yeah. And NBA finals.
Yeah. Right.
Totally. Like same stage, same talent level around him and against like
guys who have been playing together for 3 weeks compared to, you know, 82 years. Games.
Yeah.
And
guys,
then a playoff
guys who've
run
been together for 10 months.
Yeah.
Or longer, like in the Nuggets case, it's going to be in almost the entirely same team coming back.
Right.
All right, Ryan, what tweet do you think someone is going to put out there about the Broncos losing?
I've got, for continuity's sake, the Broncos would have been better off keeping Vance Joseph and Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Sold.
That's good bad tweet.
I agree. Yeah, that's great.
The
that's
other
great
one would tweet. Be like comparing Case Keenum's stats in week one to Joe Flacco's stats in week
one. I've definitely seen that multiple times.
That doesn't surprise me.
Do you have a bad Buffs potential tweet? Since you're doubling up anyways.
It's a bad thing that they beat Nebraska because now expectations are going to be too high.
Setting themselves up to lose six in a row at the end of the season. Yeah, yeah. Seven.
Jesus. How many burner accounts do you have?
The other one would be
this
like
is way too easy know, for you. Right?
We're going to learn some stuff about each other in this segment.
The one that I wish I thought was a bad take, which wouldn't actually be that bad of a take, was this is why the Buffs should have never left the Big 12. 2 years ago, I'd have been like, what a terrible take. Now I'm like, it's not that far off.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have stopped Nebraska from leaving.
That's true. Then you would have looked
or
like
Mizzou, right?
The like ex-girlfriend who's still living in the hometown while you like went off and went to the big city.
Is Vic Fangio should return to the coaching box take too soon?
That's a real take. I believe in that take.
Okay. I didn't know where we stood on this.
So you're the owner of that tweet.
I guess I'm that guy.
I didn't know where
that's
we
that's your robo-ump as well. We're finding everyone's robo-ump. Yeah.
I like that.
He can't see what the heck's going on the defensive side of the ball in the field.
You don't, like, this is the exact analogy I used on the Broncos podcast, but, like, you don't take Kyler Murray and put him under center. He's really good in the shotgun, so you leave him in the shotgun. You don't take Vic Fangio, who's really good in the booth, and put him on the sidelines just because that's what you think is supposed to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. He could definitely be in the booth.
Break those social norms.
Yes.
Could they give him, could they like find an in-between and have him sitting like Booger McFarland
That's what
was?
I thought, yeah. No, I don't think
we've thought of the
Booger
inflatable
McBeal.
Desk. I don't think that idea is going to work.
The inflatable desk.
Right.
Production.
Desk.
Production fell through.
Didn't Hugh Freeze just coach a game from like a dentist chair?
Yes. If Hugh Freeze can do that.
I think it was
a
hospital
bed
2 weeks ago.
Bed.
Yeah.
Then he upgraded to the dentist chair.
Oh,
he could
I
sit
missed
up.
The dentist chair. This is great.
This was just last Saturday.
I don't know why
chair.
It was a dentist. If you can sit in a dentist chair, can't you sit in any chair?
I think it was something where the press box was so small they couldn't get a full hospital bed in there. So the dentist chair was a little smaller.
Couldn't you just go with fit. A chair, though?
I don't know. Maybe he just needed some more back support.
Okay. All right.
Can't Vic just live stream the game on an iPad with an all 22 angle? Like, right. Why is that so hard? It is 2019, right?
Right. Yeah.
It seems like it would work.
They're just
you need
on
the inflatable
such
desk,
a delay.
Though, because you can't be walking around with an iPad in
He's
your
He's going
to
be bumping into people left and right.
So basically, the Broncos won't win until you create this inflatable desk for Vic Fangio.
The GoFundMe is really struggling to get funded.
All right, AJ. What's your ridiculous take?
Well, Mikko Rantanen hasn't signed, and so obviously he's selfish, and he's a me-first guy, and doesn't care about the team's success at all.
Oh, he's a me-first, but it's M-I instead of M-M-E for Mikko.
You could work for
Is that the
Nintendo.
Shirt? Is that the shirt?
That's nice. That's the tweet. That would be me if it was my tweet.
It's Mikko. Like the shirt would be Mikko and
Mikko, more like me too. Okay, me first, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. Good, no. Good.
And he looks like the Hamburger Burglar, except it's bags of money.
This is actually amazing.
All right.
I was say.
I kind of feel like we need to create a BSN burner account and tweet all of these.
All
out.
Of these.
Well, don't say it, Andre.
Oh, man, Andre.
Just think it out loud.
Yeah,
right?
See,
it's
you
the same
do like
space,
Harrison,
you know?
And you got to just keep it on the low.
Yeah, right.
All right, AJ, why is that take so wrong?
Well, I mean, players deserve to get paid what they're worth, right? And
secure the bag.
And they're Rantanen is stuck in an unprecedented RFA market right now. The NHL hasn't seen anything like this group of players all being unsigned at the same time, trying to figure out where they all slot in money-wise. And the uncertainty of the CBA and whether or not there will be another lockout in 2020, it all kind of created a perfect storm for a bunch of these guys to be going through the exact same situation. And the idea that Mikko Rantanen is selfish or a me-first guy because he's not going to be at training camp this weekend because he can't, you know, they don't know what the market is.
Yeah.
If you don't know what the market is, you're either creating your own, which you're taking a huge risk of being wildly underpaid, or you're waiting for it. You're waiting for something to move. And right now he's in the waiting stages of I hope somebody above or below me signs so that I have something to move off of. Because right now there's nothing, and they're all in the same holding pattern.
Yeah, it's not like he's saying he doesn't want to play for the Avs. But
right. It's not this is and it's not an acrimonious thing. It's not like Toronto with Mitch Marner where those two sides are like going at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's they both want stability and they just want something that's fair for him. It's just a matter of what does that look like?
All right, Drew.
Well,
ridiculous take.
The problem with mine is that they're coming so hot and heavy for the Rockies that I actually came up with one in anticipation of this segment today that I do have to admit I actually not only saw tweets, there was a whole article written. So sorry to call it out, but this was what I came in here with today, what I went to bed last night with prepared. So this was what I was going to say. The collapse of the Colorado Rockies in this final stretch has been so terrible, they need to trade Nolan Arenado and rebuild from the ground up.
Yikes.
Why?
It's just
why tweet
a
that?
Massive
why write an article
overreaction
about it?
To
why?
Insane
baseball games that are being started by people like Rico Garcia and Chichi Gonzalez.
Yeah.
It's ugly, but let's have some perspective.
It would take them longer to dismantle the roster than to rebuild it.
Exactly.
Because there are so many quality guys that they could ship out that you just, it would be like, okay, great. Like you built the top 15 prospects in Baseball America's top 100 and you still have no idea if that's a good baseball team or not.
Right. No, they've done this before. That's what they have now. They got a bunch of really great prospects. Yeah. They graduated them. Some of them have worked out. Some of them are still struggling, but that's what they have now. Why would you start the process over again when you've already done that? It doesn't help make you better in any way. Yeah. And it comes 8 months after the guy signed an 8-year extension. I know there's an opt-out after the after three, and then if they're really terrible next year, then this conversation about trading Nolan Arenado starts to make a little bit of sense because you might lose him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he's locked up for at least another for these next 2 years at the very least, and then if he's going to opt out, he's going to have to say no to getting paid $33 million in his mid-30s. And he's not going to get that from anybody else. So this is it's just an extremely premature conversation, if nothing else.
It's like the Charlie Blackman.
Exactly.
Charlie Blackman.
Like it's such a strange thing to suggest a complete rebuild after a team that's increased their win total 5 consecutive years and then had one down year where everything went wrong and suggest that what they shouldn't be trying to do is restock and win next year, but rather enter into some long rebuilding window so that you can be good again by the time Trevor Story leaves it in arbitration if you haven't extended him or whoever else or David Dahl is becoming expensive. None of it makes sense. Timing-wise, I think it comes from people who don't really – they want to see Nolan Arenado play somewhere else, and they always have. I mean
mm-hmm. – That's definitely it, by the way.
Yeah, there were 2 years of narratives from people saying he was definitely going to leave. Then he signs this extension. 8 months later, a lot of the same people suddenly are saying, get rid of him.
The narrative around Rockies players leaving is crazy because I think the only one that left was Matt Holliday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, well, all their
him.
Yeah.
Well, and
it's
that's
he
because he was
to
going
leave.
To walk.
Right.
He wouldn't sign the extension. But otherwise, all of their major homegrown guys, they've paid.
Yeah.
And yeah. What's weird is that it really hasn't worked out that well for them to do that.
Right. I mean, Tulo
none of those
kept
contracts
getting hurt.
Aged well, and then they made the Tulo deal, right. And that deal hasn't. It did nothing for both teams.
Right. And so, but that's the thing. If people were coming out and saying, you know what, they should trade Nolan Arenado because if he does start to get hurt or something, then it's really going to hamper the team the way the Tulo deal did. If that was an argument people were making, I'd be like, well, shoot. But Nolan's never had an injury problem.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, yeah. I almost didn't even finish the set word. But, you know, he's been pretty healthy and pretty consistent in his career. He's 28 years old. He's one of the best players in there's no other. This drives me crazy. There's no other team in sports who, if they were coming off back-to-back playoff years and had one of the premier players in all of the sports, maybe in the history of the sport,
yeah, a guy people, on a Hall of Fame track,
yeah, like probably is already the third greatest third baseman who's ever lived right now at 28 yeah. years old, and people are like, they should get rid of him because they can somehow find a way to make themselves better without that guy. Either that or that's not your perspective, is making the Rockies better, in which case that's not – they're not going to trade from a position of not making themselves better.
Come okay, on. So we succeeded. We, yeah, we made Drew
I
mad.
I got riled
awesome.
Up.
That Nolan thing wait, happens really? In all sports too. In the NBA, a lot of people want to get superstars out of small markets, and yeah. You're definitely spot on with that.
It's just crazy. I mean,
it's also
people were saying that about Giannis a couple of years ago. I'm sure people
there was an article that dropped literally the minute after Milwaukee was eliminated in the playoffs last year. Like, will Giannis stay in Milwaukee because they can't win in the playoffs, you know?
Unbelievable.
Real quick, at the very beginning of that, you named two pitchers. Was it Rico and Chichi?
Rico and Chichi.
That sounds like a Cheech and Chong spinoff.
Yeah. It's been the year of Rico and Chichi.
That's what the Rockies are right now. The Rockies are a Cheech and Chong spinoff.
And Tim Melville.
And Tim. Rico, Chichi, and Tim, actually.
I'd watch that show.
That'd be a great podcast.
Yeah.
Rico, Chichi, and Melville.
Mm. I like Tim. Because it's boring.
Right.
Rico and Chichi are awesome.
So exotic, yeah.
Well, it's also kind of a moot point. Like, that could have been written or said at the trade deadline. Like, now it's a little late. And you know why it wasn't being written at the trade deadline? Because it was still like, oh, are they sellers? Are they buyers? We don't know.
Right. People forget they were actually, they went on a stretch this year where they were the second best team in the National League for about a month and a half. And they were like 6 games over .500. And yeah. Then that Padres series happened and Wade Davis fell apart and then everyone got hurt. Like,
I mean, this is the perfect storm.
Yeah. But like, that's why I started with the Rico and Chichi thing. That's what's so weird to me is people are like, well, the Rockies are so terrible, therefore get rid of Charlie and Nolan. Like, the Rockies, like, they're starting these guys who don't, and I love them. I love these guys to death. They don't belong in the big leagues, and they weren't planning on being here, right. And they're probably not going to be
personal,
here next year.
Like,
right.
Those guys just don't belong.
And they're not going to be major factors for the Rockies next year. So making decisions about your future regarding the best player your franchise has ever had because you're losing games badly that are being started by guys who aren't going to be around next year. It's just...
This is why we paid Drew.
This is why we paid Drew the big bucks. He just made this... He made good Rockies content on this podcast. I liked it.
Hey, thanks. Oh, hopefully there... I'm sure there are a lot of people listening to this who have checked out, so hopefully that was... Interesting.
All right. Well, you guys should send us your beat the tweets, and we'll read them on the next show. And also,
we're gonna get some good ones.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, we're going to put a poll out on Twitter on the post for who won the week. So be sure to vote on that, and we'll be talking results next week.
Vote for Connor.
Vote for Connor.
Vote for Connor. Vote well, your plea Broncos. Last time, vote for Drew and the Rockies actually happened. They won. It's just the Avs community will do anything AJ says.
I like this idea.
It works for me.
Let's go to work, Binions.
Let's get it done.
Go Buffs.
All right. Well, thanks to...
I thought it was
SCO. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's both.
Okay.
Well, that's very, very big of you to admit. Ryan hates the SCO.
No, I don't. What is this, 2014?
I don't really like
I'm a changed
SCO.
Man.
He doesn't like the
I feel
SCO.
Like if you're at least 2 years removed from college, you shouldn't be saying SCO.
Absolutely.
No,
I disagree.
Straight
100%.
Up. Anybody
strong
over 25.
Point. Strong point.
No, yes. SCO is like some self respect. It's something that is, yep. is unique to the fan base. So
is it, though?
Yeah. You can
oh, yeah.
Say
I walk in the airport and I'm wearing any Buffs gear. Someone just says SCO. And I'm like, oh, cool.
That's all
go
you
Buffs.
It's like Roll Tide.
Yeah,
but better.
When the game ended, I sent a tweet that literally just said,
"Scho." Everyone's yeah. not in their head on that one.
Oh, Roll Tide, better. War Eagle, Skull.
Skull.
Skull. Skull. Skull. Sorry.
Skull.
What did I say?
Skull.
What did I say?
Skull.
Yeah.
I like Skull.
War Tide. War Eagle, Roll Tide, Skull.
All right. With that, we're going to finish
iconic.
This.
Iconic.
We're going to finish this podcast up. Thanks for everyone for listening, and stay tuned next week.